Well, the best part of a new script is a new script.
Yes, it is. The new pages.
The new pages. And the best part of giving other actors the new pages is that we don't have to rehearse the new lines. Memorize the new lines.
Yes. Here's 52 new pages. Memorize them for tomorrow. We're going to go home and write 52 more.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 444, The New Pages. We just finished, I think, the third and a half week. This is our fourth week, but it's a short week.
Yeah.
Of the rehearsals for the workshop production of William Shakespeare's long lost first play, Abridged, here at Napa Valley Shakespeare Company in Napa, California, and we're taking and we started. I think we started the first read throughs. We started rehearsals with draft five, and that was about maybe two-thirds of the way there, right?
I think it was like the fifth draft of the first act, and
yes.
And the second act was nowhere near that. Early on, you had an idea about how the show could finish, so we knew where we were aiming,
right?
And we'd done a lot of work on the first act, and sort of the second act was rough and not complete.
Right.
And so we did table work for a week,
mm-hmm.
maybe even a week and a half,
mm-hmm.
and then
we had a sixth draft, which included way more of the second act.
Mm-hmm. And along the way, we've had two invited readings. So the actors, God love them, know this going in. It's like it's kind of an invited rehearsal, but we run through it. So the first invited reading was only like the third day of rehearsal.
Really?
And we invited people that we know, family, friends, people who work at Napa College and mm-hmm. Shakespeare Napa Valley to come and listen. And you and I listen to their reaction.
Yeah. And the guys just sat at a table.
Yeah, they didn't move around.
Yeah.
They'd read through it maybe three or four times.
Right.
And we'd stop and start and worked it a little bit, but it just wasn't that many days. And so we learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
What people laughed at, but also hearing it. Sometimes we have an idea in our head that we think is on the page. I know this is true for me, and then you hear it and you go, oh, you know what? That is not yet on the page. I know it needs to go somewhere, but it's not in there yet.
Right. Right. Well, and it's the script is ever evolving even in rehearsal. So now here at the end of this third week, tomorrow I will print up what will be draft seven. Mm-hmm. And that feels very, very, very close to not being finished, but very, very close to having its complete shape.
Yeah, and there'll still be a lot of work to go on it. At this point, everybody's really looking forward to that because after the first reading and after the second reading, we're cutting pages, we're moving things around every day. There's the new pages.
The new pages.
So, we go away and write and say, okay, first of all, take pages 90 through 93 and put those after pages 68.
Yeah, right.
And also, we
use a program. We write this in a program called Final Draft, which is screenwriting software. It's been around for, I don't know, long, 15, maybe 20 years. But they also have a stage play template that we've modified for our own purposes. And so what you can do is lock the pages. So when we wrote a couple of new scenes that were then longer, they lock the pages so you can still keep the existing pages, but put the new pages in between the existing pages. So we have pages 88A, 88B, 93A through F are the new pages that go between before page 94.
And then some pages go away.
Right.
There's a one scene monologue between scenes, and we go, you know what? It's not funny. We don't need it.
Yeah.
Cut it. So sometimes you have page 80, 80A, 80B, 80C, 80D, and after all those 80 pages, then because we've also moved things around but not printed a new script, you might have the 70s pages.
Well, and it's an ongoing question with the guys too. It's just like, and you know, we gave a shout out to the guys, but let's say their names, Chad Yarish and Dan Sasky, who have worked with us before on a couple of previous shows, and new guy Teddy Spencer, who's a terrific addition to the group. You know, we asked them, do you want new pages now, or do you want a new draft now, or do you just want current pages? And for a long time, they want to keep the pages they've got because those pages have all their notes.
Right, the blocking and the acting notes and everything like that.
So, but now it's gotten to the point where there are so many crossouts and arrows and weird page numbers. Like, we have three pages 86. You know, which is it? Is this the first? Are we talking about the first page 86 or the second page 86? But tomorrow they will get a complete new draft 7, and they can. But then they've got to transfer all their notes from the previous.
Which is actually, when I've had to do that, very good, because it reminds me. It's like I'm learning the blocking and reminding myself of the acting notes as I'm copying it into the new script.
I remember a year ago I was doing the play at Looking Glass Theater, in the Garden, the Darwin, a Darwinian love story, and it was a new play, it was surprisingly together, except for one big debate scene in the second act where I was playing the Bishop of Oxford, and that must have changed 4 or 5 times in rehearsal, just while we were working on it. And so that was just, you know, so there were new speeches, new lines moved around. It got changed from a bombastic, realistic debate to a very whispered kind of a thing. But the beautiful part of that was when I got the new pages there, all I had to do was memorize the lines. I didn't have to think about how the play was written. I didn't have to think. All I had to do is just do what I was told, say the lines, and don't trip over the furniture.
Well, I think the idea for this particular podcast, I was driving home. No, you know what? I talked to you. The day before, I had been driving to rehearsal and had printed up all the new pages and was bringing them. I was really excited.
Yeah.
Oh, the new pages.
Yeah.
Let's see how this plays. I think we've solved a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And then you get to rehearsal and you read through them and you go, oh, yeah, this really works. Oh, this really doesn't. Oh, this is solved. Oh, but it introduces this problem. The whole process is from very excited to very depressed.
Well, the new pages brings a kind of an excitement. But I think, as I was saying to my brother, you know, with every change we make, I think we're making it better. I don't think we're making it worse. And so the new pages go, okay, each clarity begins at home, and each batch of new pages brings us closer to clarity. It's not like, I mean, this is now the 9th show that you and I have written. And, you know, just because we've written a couple of successful shows doesn't mean we necessarily know how to write a new show, because every new show is its own thing.
And this one is much more its own thing than any of our other shows.
That's right. So we have to learn how to write this show, but that's what the rehearsal is for. You know, it's figuring it out, taking all the skills we've learned on the previous shows, but applying them to the specific script.
I saw a thing about, I guess, what is it? Is it the 5 or 6 stages of writing? So the first stage, this is a brilliant idea. The second stage is, ooh, this is harder to do than I thought.
Right.
The third stage is, this show sucks. The fourth stage is, I suck. And the fifth stage is, maybe this will be okay.
Right. Right. Well, that's how, isn't that how you know a fool? A fool is a person who is absolutely 100% convinced he's right.
Yes. You know? Don't believe everything you believe. Good advice.
Right.
Yeah. I think Woody Allen talked a similar thing. I mean, for him, he was saying in this American Masters documentary on him, and he was saying he gets to sit at home in his bedroom and write. He writes out by hand on legal pads his script, and he says, and that for him is just the dream. That movie is perfect. And then he starts to get in production, and you're trying to figure out and solve problems and the casting and the locations and your budget, you know, and you start to make compromises, you know, and it's just, well, is this going to be okay, you know, and then, you know, your vision is sort of slowly disappearing, and by the end, he goes, I'll sell my soul if I can just make this mediocre.
This is Christopher Moore, the author of Fool and the Serpent of Venice, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week, we begin our reduced 20-city UK tour of the show that started it all, the first, the original, the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised. This tour runs through July 10th, and this will be the last chance you have to see us in the UK in this year of our Lord 2015. But we have 15 new U.S. tour dates for this fall of 2015. We'll be performing in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Virginia, California, Louisiana, North Carolina, Missouri, and Kansas. And next April and May of 2016, we'll perform the world premiere of our 10th stage show, the one we're talking about now, William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, at the Folger Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
Well, and when we talk about the new pages, this is just the new pages that happen in rehearsal. But of course, we've been working on this. Well, we've been talking about this idea for a couple of years, returning to our Shakespearean roots, but even maybe as long as 3 years ago. But we realized that we wanted to come out with this script in time for 2016, which is the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death. So we wrote the comedy show first. So we've been thinking about it for a while, but I remember when we were running this comedy show at the Marin Theater Company back in November, December of 2014, is when you and I started kind of actually having regular meetings and talking about
Starbucks in Mill Valley, California.
The beautiful, it'll forever be our Starbucks. it was kind of, I had had it in my head how I thought it would work, but that was the point in which, and you were kind of going, well, wait, how does it work? And you were asking all sorts of really great questions about, well, what is the role of magic? And I went, oh, I don't know. I kind of knew, but I hadn't articulated.
Yeah, or so, what's the theme or, yeah. You know, and so, yeah, so we had lots of discussions about it, and you sort of flesh it out as you write it.
You do. And I had spent, so then I went over to London, and I had to spend January in London, but I was reading as many Shakespeare plays and watching as many Shakespeare movies as I could, there wasn't enough time to go through the entire canon as much as I wanted. And some plays, you know, All's Well That Ends Well? I know. Henry VIII? Probably not.
No.
But I was having a blast doing it, and so, but I started writing proper sort of at the end of January of this year, 2015. And I don't know. I must have... I had some pages that we read in March.
Yeah,
right?
We had tour dates in March and April.
Yeah.
And we read, Dominic was with us, and
that's
so
right.
He read the third part, and I think Allie and our stage manager, Elaine, were with us, and they... We're audience members, but it's in verse.
Yeah,
you know, Austin has definitely done the heavy lifting, but finding actual Shakespearean verse and adapting it to the plot of William Shakespeare's long lost first play,
right.
Which turns out to be delightful. But just sitting and listening to it, people didn't have a lot of feedback because it's a little overwhelming.
Yeah, it's totally overwhelming, and we hadn't put any of the sort of reduced Shakespeare Company breakdowns into it. We were trying to find the story of what the Shakespeare play is. I was trying to, whenever we possibly could, I was just combing through the texts, trying to find an actual genuine Shakespeare line for every line we were using, if that were possible. And then some of these lines we would just totally change, you know. And our excuse is always going to be, well, it's Shakespeare's first play.
He wasn't very good. We're not very good. Well, no, Shakespeare wasn't very good.
Yeah.
We're not very, well, one of the two.
One of the two. Yes, we're comparing ourselves to Shakespeare, and it won't be the last time. Well, and sometimes the new pages are missing pages. Because, like, I had done an entire plot line of Antipholus from Comedy of Errors, and we just went, yeah, we don't need that. We're not interested in Antipholus.
Well, the feedback we were getting, I think, early on from folks is, if it's willing, people want to see the familiar characters.
Right, right.
Right? We want to see Hamlet. We want to see Lady Mac. We want to see Richard III.
See Puck and Ariel. Yeah.
Kate and Beatrice and all that.
Yeah.
And so that was a good note.
Well, and I don't feel, it's funny, I think I have felt more precious about things that I've written in previous shows than this one. And either that's because, well, it's mostly Shakespeare, and so we're cutting Shakespeare, now we're not cutting me. But I don't think that's it. I just think it's, you know, that's one thing where I think having written 9 shows, that does get better. You become less precious
about your stuff. Well, the stuff you cling on desperately, you know, it always ends up going away anyway.
Yeah.
So what's the point? An interesting question is, does it feel like the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged? Mm. And to me, although it's Shakespeare-themed, it feels less like the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged than the other shows, than the History of America or the Bible or the complete history of comedy, because those are sketch comedy shows with a theme. This really is, there's a story from beginning to end, and it's, I don't know, what percent, 90, 85% of it is in verse, which is not like the complete works of William Shakespeare at all.
At all. And it's, it's in many ways, it's closer to a quote-unquote real play than, and there's kind of two stories. There's the Shakespearean story, and then there's the story of the three guys going, wait, can we cut this massive 100-hour play down to 2 hours? That's kind of the same plot that we always have, but it's... Yeah, it's an interesting journey, and it's really fun seeing everybody play every character and having those characters recur throughout the story. It feels less disjointed maybe than some of the other shows, which are sketchy, where you don't see those characters throughout. Like even in Complete Works, you see Romeo and Juliet for the first 20 minutes, and you see Hamlet for the last 20 minutes.
Right.
And then it's just really the three guys. But this is a story where we're following Puck and Ariel, and then Hamlet and Lady Macbeth, oh, and Lear, oh, and the witches.
And Dromio and Juliet.
And Dromio and Juliet. So, yes, there are many strange bedfellows, if I can quote the bard.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your new pages via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, ink-stained wretch Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Dave Cook. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Christopher Moore, the New York Times best-selling author of Fool and the Serpent of Venice, who I bet knows a few things about Shakespeare and new pages. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 444, 1330 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
There really is a Shakespeare quote for every occasion.
Get thee to a nunnery.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.